Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I am very excited about our guest this hour. She's my new friend, Kelly Oldwiler. She's the president of Kell Bergen Consulting Company, which is a training and consulting business that specializes in high-performance technologies, the development of team-based cultures, and leadership development in fast-paced, high-technology, and innovative environments. She's an experienced executive coach, a trainer, a facilitator. She's developed a division of the company that provides coaching and one-on-one consulting to entrepreneurs and small business owners, which was her ticket on the show. And also, she's an author, a columnist, and a speaker, and she's the co-author of a book that I want to tell you about, and I want her to tell you about, called Paradoxical Thinking. Kelly, thank you for being on the show. Welcome.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Nice to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're with us. And folks, we need to give Kelly a round of applause because Kelly is on the left coast. She's all the way out there in California. And, you know, we always give a little bit of an extra appreciation to the people who get up so early out in California. Kelly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That means a lot to us. Kelly, I've had your book for 2 or 3 weeks now, maybe a little bit longer. And I pick it up and I laid it back down. I picked it up and I laid it back down, and I knew that it was interesting, that I wanted to have you on the show, but it took me a while. I looked at this, and I think maybe it was more about me than it was about the book, because it was almost like I was afraid I was going to find something in here that I didn't want to know about my friend. But I really do. The book is called Paradoxical Thinking, folks, and one of the reasons why I wanted Kelly to be on the show is I have been told that I'm a very complex person, and I believe that. And I also believe that not having the complexities, the different aspects of the way I am in sync, has created some problems for me in my life. And I believe that this book, if you feel that you might be like that, or if you know someone like that, I think this book might help you, and I think it may help me, Kelly. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. What this book really is about is that complexity that people have. We all have it. And within that complexity, we have aspects of ourselves that seem to conflict one with the other.
Right.
And most of us have parts of us that we don't like and we try to eliminate. And try and get consistent with the areas that we do like. And yet, from the research we've done, and we've interviewed and studied over 6,000 people now and looked at their paradoxical qualities, we have actually found that those parts that we don't like so much are just as valuable as the ones that we do. And it's really a matter of learning to use those parts we don't like in a mature way.
Right.
And if we eliminate them, it's like having half of a pendulum swing. There's nowhere to go.
Well, you can't cut off one half of yourself.
Exactly.
You know, it's part of you, and you can't eliminate those things, but you can modify them, or at least make your two sides work a little bit more in concert.
Yes.
The subtitle of the book, folks, that I like a lot, is How to Profit from Your Contradictions. And I think that really spoke to me. And Kelly, that's the reason I kept picking the book up and picking it up. And I kept thinking, you know, this book could really help me a lot, but I'm really going to have to get into it. And folks, I do recommend this book to you, Paradoxical Thinking. Kelly, before we go any further, tell our audience how they can get your book.
You can get the book by ordering it through your local bookstore. It usually takes 3 to 5 days to get it. Or you can email me, and I'll send you the information.
Go ahead and give me the email out.
That email address is H, P as in Paul, D as in David, K-E-L-L-E, at AOL.com.
Okay. And folks, Kelly, that information will be on my website. So if they're in my website and they find your place on my guest page, That link will be there.
Oh, wonderful.
And they'll be able to order that from you if they want to.
Okay.
And so you can order it out of the bookstores and you can get it online.
Yes, you can.
And
you can also get it from Amazon.
Okay.
Carry it as well.
Good. Folks, I recommend you check it out. She has a co-author, Jerry Fletcher, someone you've worked with for a long time, isn't it?
Yes, for about 15 years now.
Is that right?
We've been studying high performance together, and that's actually how we discovered the paradox. We were studying people and interviewing them to find out what their behavior was when they performed their very best work.
Right.
And we found that they had what we call a high-performance pattern that was unique to them. When they were in high-performance mode, they behaved in a way that was unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that what that tells us is that everybody really is different.
Well, that's the reason why you see someone doing something that you think is absolutely the nuttiest thing in the world, but somehow they're successful because it worked for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we discovered is whenever someone's in a high-performance mode, we found that they exhibited behavior that was so paradoxical. And by paradoxical, what I mean is it's a contradictory or seemingly impossible combination of ideas or actions.
Mm-hmm.
And the impossibility usually comes from a limited way of thinking about it. It's not really impossible. It just seems as though it would be.
Right. And you know, if you're a complex person and you're seeking advice from people, you really have to be careful who you seek advice from, because there are people out there who are not very complex, and they don't even like complex people, and they'll give you a very unvisionary comment. In other words, they won't take into consideration the complex person that you are, and they'll basically just shoot you down. And what you really need to do is find people who can recognize that you're maybe a little bit different from them and give you a good suggestion based on you and not what they think.
Yes. And, you know, I'm going to tell you a hint that I learned when I first began coaching, that a good coach is someone who doesn't tell you what he would tell other people, mm-hmm. but actually will learn enough about you to begin with that the advice and the coaching they give you is unique to you. In other words, they get to see you fully and understand all your qualities and characteristics, how they interplay, and be able to coach you from that position.
That's a great definition, so much better than anything that I said. I appreciate that, Kelly. And, folks, we're going to take a break. It's 20 after the hour. When we come back, I'm going to ask Kelly to define paradoxical thinking for us, and then we're going to talk about how all this works in your small business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassing, and a small business advocate, and my special guest and my new friend is Kelly Oldweiler. She's the co-author of a book called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. It's a book that I recommend to you. As you know, I don't bring authors on the show if I don't recommend their book, but Kelly is much more than just an author. She's also the president of a training and consulting company called Kell Bergen Consulting. And Kelly, tell us how our audience can contact you if they'd like to, and you might even want to take a few seconds and just talk about some of the things that you could offer someone.
Well, what our company offers is helping people think through the various problems that they're facing. We also do a lot of transitional coaching. So many times a business owner has had a business going and they're facing some crossroads, mm-hmm. and they have to consider which choices they're going to make, which directions they're going to choose. And because so many business owners are sort of at the top of a big tree,
mm-hmm.
And with not a lot of people around to take up the slack, it's a hard thing to do, hard decisions to make. So we help people provide coaching, consulting. We also, once people or a business gets enough folks in it, we help with training, considering what is needed for companies to be able to advance given their particular situations.
Right.
For example, I'm working with a company right now which has just jumped in the last 5 years from 25 people to 200 people.
Wow.
And for the first time, they're actually having to consider human resources, mm-hmm. training their supervisors.
You work all over. You work in Europe and all over the country, in Latin America as well.
Yes, I do.
Now, I know you do this face-to-face. You do this on-site, but do you also ever make available electronic relationship with your clients? I'll get it out in a minute.
Well, you know, I do a lot of telephone work.
Yeah.
And I am just now having a wonderful computer genius try and help me figure out how to do live online coaching.
Hmm.
We're in the process of that, though. So at this point, most of my work, long distance, if I'm not there face-to-face, we do it by telephone.
Right.
And, of course, email.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. How would someone contact you?
They can give me a call at area code 415-892-1464.
Right.
And
all
they
right.
can also contact me at my email address, which is hpdkelly@AOL.com, and that's spelled H, P as in Paul, D as in David, K-E-L-L-E.
All right. And that information, as I said, will be on our website. Kelly, thank you for sharing that information with us. Give us the definition of paradoxical thinking. You defined a paradox earlier.
Yes.
Tell us what paradoxical thinking is.
The paradoxical thinking is being willing to hold in your mind a combination of ideas that seems contradictory, and actually intentionally looking for paradoxes inherent within particular situations.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you approach a problem, our tendency, especially in the United States, is to be very linear in how we approach it. We think that things should be one way or another way, but rarely do we allow our thinking to consider that perhaps it should be part of two or more ways. So paradoxical thinking is challenging your own thinking to include all the possibilities, even the ones that seem contradictory.
Right. Folks, the number is 888-822-TALK. That's the number on the show if you'd like to talk to me or Kelly about any of this. 888-822-8255. It's toll-free. It's coast-to-coast. Kelly, you know, the interesting thing is I'm hearing you talk about this. The way you define paradoxical thinking is the organized version of what we probably do every day on an unorganized basis. In other words, all these paradoxical, all these things that are inside of us that create this paradox and these contradictions, we deal with each one of those every day, all the time, but we don't deal with them in an organized way. And what I think I hear you saying is that paradoxical thinking is when you're aware of all those things and you sort of get them going in the same direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to put it, actually. Okay. An example of something like that can be you're following a particular path to get a client.
Mm-hmm.
You've been tracking it, you've been pursuing it, you had it all planned out, and all of a sudden it's not working. What you're going to have to do is shift your thinking so that you can come up with a different approach that might actually bring the client in.
Right. What I've been doing isn't working. I got to do something different. Yeah. Okay, folks, we've got to take a break. It's 29 after. Kelly Oldwiler is our guest. She's my new friend. She's the co-author of Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. I'll be right back with Kelly. Stay with us, please. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. Thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that's dedicated to the success of small business owners and small business dreamers. And our special guest is my new friend, Kelly Oldwiler. She's the co-author of an excellent book that I recommend to you called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. And Kelly, you and I were talking earlier, and I was saying that you've got to really understand, you really need a little bit of a setup to really get the most out of this book. And you said something to me that really, really meant a lot. I had approached this book as if I were the way I do, which is to collect the information that I need to make sure that we have a good visit. But I did not, so far, have not read this book for me. I have not read this book for Jim, as if Jim was reading it to get all the help I could out of this book. And you said something to me about, you gave an idea about how to approach reading this book.
Yes. What we've found, we get quite a bit of feedback about the book. And if you read the book from an objective point of view, just as an overview,
mm-hmm.
people seem to have difficulty in really capturing the ideas. It's true that this book is a mental exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It really challenges your thinking and asks you to let go of how you've always thought of things in the past and consider a few different things. And the people who have found this book really valuable, and there's a lot of them out there, are the ones who actually have taken this book and gone through each chapter step by step and applied it to themselves. And that's how the book is written. It's written so that a person can buy it, and the how to do it step by step is recorded in the book.
Yeah.
So we give examples. We say how to do something. We give examples. And then you get to try it for yourself. And that's when you really begin to get the feeling of what this is about, and it makes a difference for you as a person.
You cannot orbit above this book, folks, if you're going to get the most out of it. You've got to get into the book.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll tell you another thing that I like about the book, Kelly. Folks, there are a lot of case studies in here. Now, it's not full of case studies because I don't care for books like that. I don't care for books that I've seen where it's nothing but case studies, one after the other. They blend their advice and their thoughts on paradoxical thinking, how to be successful with your paradoxes, in with some of the an occasional case study. And I think that makes it a little more interesting. And I like that feature of your book, Kelly.
Well, thanks.
Let's talk about some of the paradoxes that small business owners face. You've thought about that a little bit. I know you work with small business owners, and tell us about that.
Well, one example of a paradox that small business owners have to deal with is the division of personal time. In other words, the public self versus the private self.
Right.
And what I found is that if you've really got to manage both in a very healthy way if you're going to be successful. And I have already met so many people who, because of the demands of their business, and the balance that they lack in their lives in dealing with that business, end up losing their families. You know, a lot of people end up in divorce. So when you walk into a business or decide that's what you want to do or you already have one, to always bring your attention back to the dilemma of family versus business. And there's some things that you can do to prepare yourself, but you've got to think it through carefully, which many people don't do.
You know, Kelly, let me interrupt you just for one second. The paradox here, folks, is something that's so critical. I just want to make sure that we stress this, Kelly. The paradox, and I want to put this in the small business owner's terms. I have a family I have to feed. The way I feed my family is my business. And so at what point in time do I say, okay, I'm going to leave my business, I'm going to sort of forsake my business? Sometimes you feel like that. You say, if I go to my son's ball game or my daughter's whatever, I will leave. I won't be able to make this call, or I won't be able to do this thing for the business, which what do I need to do most? Do I need to be in the business making them a living, or do I need to be with my family? That's the paradox, isn't
it? That's the paradox, exactly.
Yeah.
And there are different ways of handling it, and one of them is find ways to include your family in your business. I know a chef who's a very well-known chef in Chicago, Heidi, and she had been in two very famous restaurants and wanted her dream to be to open her own restaurant.
Right.
And she did that, and of course the restaurant business is brutal on your time.
It is.
But her family is really important to her. So what she did is, one, she picked a location for her restaurant that was in 5-10 minutes in traffic from their house. And what she does is she goes home for 2 hours after the lunch seating, goes back to the restaurant, then goes back at 9 so she can put her children to bed every night.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that she does is she found ways of including her children in the restaurant business. So they come in and help her on Saturdays.
I'll be there.
And the management is geared to including the kids
in
all their everyday workings. And the kids help with food preparation. The last time I was there, one of them had created a new recipe that they, you know, did a little fiddling with, and it was now a very good dessert on the menu. The kids are learning to greet and schmooze with customers.
And customers like that.
And customers like it, and the kids like it, because they're a part of something important.
They're imprinting it, and you actually, and you know, you've got to communicate all this to your children, too. You've got to let them know that they're important to in your life, but also they're important in your business.
Yes.
And that imprints them on it, doesn't it?
Yes. And the blending, that merging of things that are important to us that seem as though they don't go together, is very important.
Kelly, we got to take a break. Folks, stand by. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to be a careful listener and also an information provider. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is my new friend Kelly Oldwiler. She's the co-author of a book, an excellent book that I recommend to you, called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. And the book is available at bookstores. It's available online. And it's also available by calling Kelly. And Kelly, you want to give that number out again?
That's 415-892-1464.
All right. Kelly, when we took the last break, I mentioned the fact that one of the things you say that's difficult for small business owners to do and that they need to do is how to be a careful listener as well as being an information provider. And when I hear you say that, that makes me think of the relationship between an employer and an employee, a boss and an employee, because so many times the bosses in these businesses are so busy trying to impart this information, trying to tell their organization what they want to accomplish, they don't stop to think about the fact that they need to be listening to what's being said.
Yes, that's very true. That applies to boss employees. It also applies to boss and customers as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of employees, we get used to, when you have a small business especially, you get used to basically giving orders. You know what needs to be done. You want your people to do what needs to be done. And in any business, there are going to be situations that arise where people will have questions, may not be in agreement. If you don't notice that, if you don't notice the clues that they start to drop in the way that they ask questions, if you don't notice how people are talking on the floor or around you, then it can eventually end up becoming a big deal. What you really have to do is learn to listen and elicit information, to ask questions in a way that encourages people to be straightforward. And, of course, if you do that, you don't want to come down on them
right.
for giving you the information.
Right. Whatever they say, you've got to accept it the right way.
You have to accept it, and then if it upsets you, you may want to think about it. And determine a strategic way of coming back and dealing with it a little later when you're calmed down. But the listening part, if people don't feel that they're being listened to, morale drops very, very quickly.
You know, Kelly, one of the greatest moments in a small business owner's life is when he realizes that he's hired some really smart people and that he doesn't have to be the only smart one in the organization.
Yeah.
Or she can say, you know, I have really a lot of confidence that this project will be handled well by that person or that team because I've hired some smart people. They're dedicated to what we're doing. And there's just this calm that comes over you because you don't have to be the only one driving the ship.
Yeah.
And that only comes when you learn how to be a careful listener as well as communicate what you want to communicate.
Yes. So if you get good at listening, you also need to provide good information, but you can't do just one or the other. You have to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And when you apply it to a business, somebody that I was working with had a computer programming service for small businesses. And his business was dropping off, and he didn't know why, so we began talking. And I interviewed some of his customers and found that he was very respected for his abilities. But every time he showed up and went into a company's computers, he made a lot of changes on the desktop. This is a very simple thing that you wouldn't think would affect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when people who were not computer geniuses didn't know how to program, or they only knew how to make the computer work, they go back to their desktops and it was all different.
Mm-hmm.
And they get so frustrated because they couldn't find things. They didn't know where they were now stored. The filing system was now different.
They'd become comfortable with their desktop and he changed.
Exactly. Yeah. And they would tell him, please don't do that. And yet he'd come in the next time and he'd do it again.
Yeah, he wasn't listening, was he?
He wasn't listening. And out of the people's frustration, regardless of how good they thought he was at the programming, they stopped calling him.
Yeah.
So the reason his business was slowing down is because he wasn't listening in that case. He could get new clients, but he was having a hard time keeping his old ones.
And a way to have solved that problem, if he even, let's assume that he had the right idea. He was correct in the changes that he made, but what he should have done probably was set those people down with him and say, now look, here's how I think this ought to be. What do you think about that?
Exactly. And then if he made the change, then show them how to use it. Exactly. The one way that I have found is helpful to learn to become a careful listener is after every interaction, you have a little notebook that you carry around that's tiny, so you won't leave it. You can put it in a pocket or easily in a purse. And after every interaction, the questions you ask yourself are, what went well? What did I learn? What would I do differently? And where did I listen and not listen?
Self-analysis.
Yes, and it does make a difference.
Yeah.
And if you begin to record those, you begin to change.
You've got to do that. You know, MBWA that you and I have talked about, management by walking around, I recommend that to you folks. Plan on going out into your business. If you own a small business or even a large business, plan on walking around in that business and don't plan on telling anybody anything. Just walk around in your business and let people tell you things, and just nod your head or say thank you. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. Kelly Oldwiler is our special guest. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we are back, folks. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is the co-author of an excellent book called Paradoxical Thinking, How to Profit from Your Contradictions. Her name is Kelly Oldwiler, and I recommend this book to you folks. If you are wondering why you're not being as successful as you think you should be, if you're saying to yourself, you know, I've got a lot on the ball, I've got a lot of energy, I've got a lot of this, I've got a lot of that, why aren't things going better for me? It may be that your paradoxes are not in sync, and you need to think about those, and this book will help you do that. Kelly, and I want to thank you for making this book available to folks.
My pleasure.
And by the way, folks, it's available in bookstores. It's available online, Paradoxical Thinking. So check it out. One of the things, Kelly, and this is the short segment. It's the end of the coming up on the end of the hour. I want to talk about this, and that is the importance. You say that you need to recognize the importance of experiencing failure. Nobody likes failure.
That's true. Nobody does. But when you think about it. It's when we fail, and I'm talking about the small failures. I'm not talking about business failing. What we want to do, and all people learn through failing, through going through difficult times and not having them work out well,
mm-hmm.
And it's the same with a business. If you're so risk adverse that you're not willing to take any risks and learn and begin to build some strength from your failures, you'll never get a strong enough structure to survive the difficult times.
You've got to have a failure threshold that has some level, at least, don't you?
Yes,
you've got to be prepared to fail and not be afraid of it.
Exactly. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be willing to take the risk. If you do have some failure, you need to be able to study it, learn from it, so that you can incorporate it into your knowledge base and be better at predicting what you can and cannot do to fail in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't fail, if you don't recognize your failures, and as Kelly says, they don't have to be the meltdowns, just the small ones, just occasional setback. If you'll identify those, and you can almost come to cherish them. It's not like you're happy to have them, but you can really turn failure into blessings, can't you?
Oh, you are so right. I think of it as failure also giving us sometimes a creative jump. And there's an example that I heard about recently, a man who had a custom furniture business who sold to wholesalers, specialty design centers. He had a bunch of employees. In his third year, his payroll was killing him
mm-hmm.
because the business would go up and then it would go down.
Right.
And he almost failed in his business because of his overhead. And what he realized is it forced him to relook at things, and he very judiciously chose contractors that he could work with
mm-hmm.
so that he'd have a much bigger organization at his disposal without the overhead.
Right.
Now, that failure is what taught him to look at things differently, and he came up with a brand new way. Then he began, in the next 2 years, he would hire on a person or two as the business strategically required it. Not just from, oh, I've got a bunch of work, so I'd better hire a bunch of people, and then he has to keep them when the work goes away.
Right. No question about it. That's that's an excellent point. I'll tell you, there it is true. It's not just a cliche. It's a very true thing that you need to pay attention to. We definitely learn more from our failures than our successes. Because when we're successful, we think it's because we're so smart. And we don't learn from that, do we?
We don't analyze it the same way.
No, we don't reflect on that at all. But when we fail, that's when we have time to be a little more reflective, don't we?
That's right.
Kelly, we've got to wrap things up. You've done a great job today. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, I've really enjoyed being with you. Thank you, Jim.
I hope you'll come back and be with us again one day.
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Folks, that's Kelly Owyler. She's the co-author of Paradoxical Thinking. Please check this book out. Take a look at it. I think you'll enjoy it. Right now, I got to wrap things up. Before I do, I want to thank the most important members of my show, my heroes, small business owners. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.